peace. Everyone is looking for it, but the only place you'll find true and lasting peace is right here in God's Word. Join us as we go back to God's Word on this edition of Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. And indeed, it is abounding grace that we seek and find here in God's Word. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, brings us back to God's Word that we might find that peace, that encouragement for the day, that challenge to follow hard after Christ. For this edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we thank you for joining us, radio friends, for another edition of Abounding Grace, where we open the Word of God and consider these wonderful doctrines of grace. Today, we continue in our discussion of justification by grace through faith alone, and we go back to the book of Romans, chapter 4, where we picked up yesterday and considered these two pillars of the Old Testament, if you will, where the doctrine of justification had such a profound impact in their lives. Two figures we all know very well if we have any familiarity with the Bible, Abraham and David. And we picked up yesterday with verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Paul is posing a very important question here. We could paraphrase the question like this: what did Abraham, our father, discover in his life with regard to how a sinner is right with God, with how a sinner can be in a right relationship with him? Now, the first thing you'll notice here is the emphasis on Abraham, our father. Paul is reacting to something, isn't he? Abraham was held out as the great figure of the Old Testament. No one really was as great as Abraham. We think of all the great men of the Old Testament: Moses, Elijah, Daniel, David. But no one was considered the father of all of them except Abraham. In fact, you remember when Jesus confronted the Jews of his day, when he pressed them with regard to their unbelief, they shot back, "Look, Jesus, we have Abraham as our father." When Jesus told the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, the figure who becomes the sort of centerpiece is Abraham, because the Jews thought that simply being a son of Abraham guaranteed their access into heaven. So as we come to this, we're initially struck with the question is, what was their view of Abraham? The Jewish writings, of course, are not unclear about this. For instance, the Jewish teachers taught that Abraham was the only truly righteous man of his generation. They taught that he was the one who brought back the Shekinah glory cloud to the nation of Israel in the wilderness. At the age of 3, they believed he began to serve God, and all of his righteousness, they said, was totally made complete by his circumcision. This is the prayer of Manasseh. Listen to what it says. Therefore, thou, O Lord God of the righteous, hast not appointed repentance for the righteous. For Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who did not sin against thee, but thou hast appointed repentance for me, who am a sinner. This is the book of Jubilee, 2nd century BC. Abraham was perfect in all his deeds before the Lord, and was well-pleasing in righteousness all the days of his life. Do you get the point? To the Jews, Abraham was the quintessential perfect saint, and perfect representation of what it means to be upright and accepted by the Lord based on personal righteousness. And the Jews saw their blessedness as coming through him. Now, you really can appreciate what Paul's doing here. You think of the first one of chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has discovered according to the flesh? In other words, what did he discover about his own nature, his own works, and how a sinner is right before such a holy God? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. So if the great Abraham had some good works and basis for his own righteousness, the story would have been a little bit different with Abraham, right? I mean, let's say God was searching throughout all the land and he came to Ur of the Chaldeans and said, "Look, I have looked down from heaven and seen that there is this one individual in all the world who is good, who desires to serve me, and his works show it too." Abraham would have had quite a reason to boast. But Paul wants us to think about what the great Abraham discovered about himself. There was nothing different about Father Abraham than any other sinner in the Bible. He too was dead in trespasses and sins. He found that the description, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who does good. There's none who seek after God," Romans 3. All have turned aside. He discovered that those descriptions were true of him too. That means that the greatest figure in the whole Old Testament discovered the very same thing with regard to his nature as we have. God didn't just look down and say, "Look how wonderful, here's a creature in which there's absolutely no sin." And that takes Paul to the very next point. How then was Abraham saved? You know, there are a lot of people, even a lot of well-meaning Christians today, who think that Old Testament saints were saved by law-keeping. The problem is, the whole point that Paul's making here is, Abraham couldn't produce enough righteousness for God to accept. In fact, what Abraham discovered is that he was a filthy sinner. And if there must be perfect and complete righteousness to enter into the presence of this holy God, the greatest Old Testament figure fails. The Bible has told us one thing about how great Father Abraham was saved. Romans 4:3. "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." That's Genesis 15:6. And here probably is the single most important verse in all of the Bible regarding how a sinner is saved. And yet, it's one of the most misunderstood verses in all of the Bible. What does it mean that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness? Look, the Jews also cited this verse to prove their point that Abraham was justified by works. So, an initial reading of this verse, you could say, well, Abraham was just a very moral guy, and therefore he was justified based on his morality. And they saw this as saying Abraham had this inward goodness in him. And when God came to him with these promises, he just believed God, and he delighted in listening to God and obeying God, and he was naturally inclined to such obedience. And God justified him based on his obedience of listening and believing. Now, I think we all by nature would love that. If we suppress what God has said about our natures, that they are filthy rags, here we run right smack into then the religion of man. It's the religion of, "I will do it myself. I will pull up myself, thank you." But if this were the case, that Abraham was justified because of his morality, who would have been at the front of the church saying this prayer, "God, I thank you that I'm not like this publican. I fast twice a week. I give of all that I possess." You see, the point here, the misunderstanding of this verse is the one that I cited last week. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The question is so important, my friends. What was accounted to Abraham as righteousness? His belief? Abraham believed God, and so was his belief counted to him as righteousness? This is what we considered last week as a reason for false boasting. And it's so common treatment today in the evangelical world when the gospel's given. As if God just said, "Well, Abraham has shown me that he really can't do any good works, but there's one thing I think he can do. He can believe." "And you know what?" says God. "I think I'll accept that. Even though he's full of all unrighteousness, I will justify him based on his belief." Now that's what we talked about last week. And I hear this all the time. We present the gospel as if the basis of our justification before God is our own belief and our choice, and our choice to choose this holy and perfect God. And therefore, God accepts us based on our choice of him. You know, think about the implications of that, my friends. It's a horrible thing. It's a wicked way that we have found to contribute and make us feel very secure that we have done something. And so we rest our confidence on our act of believing, as if, well, I just believe and that person over there doesn't. That's why I am justified. Here's the one thing I can do. I can believe. I have that ability, says the modern evangelical thought. And in this system, we leave the impression, this is my point, in this system, we leave the impression that our belief is the work that justifies us. Now, part of this may be because of the confusion with regard to how Jesus often spoke to people who were healed in the Bible. Take blind Bartimaeus, for example. There was this blind guy sitting outside of Jericho, and Jesus went by, and the blind guy cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus says, "What do you want me to do with you?" He asks, "For my sight." Jesus heals him. And then he says to blind Bartimaeus, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." Doesn't that make it sound like his faith healed him? Here we're running up against the nature of saving faith. What then is faith? Is it the one thing you can do? Let's say Bartimaeus went home to Miss Bartimaeus and she looked at her husband and she said, "Honey, you're healed." And you said, and he said, and she says, "How did this happen?" He says, "Honey, my faith made me well." What's she going to say? "Where was your faith all these years you were blind before?" Bartimaeus isn't going to say that. He's going to say, "I met a man, and that man's name was Jesus. And he had the ability and the power to save." From Jesus' perspective, his healing occurred through the means of Bartimaeus' faith, because it was a faith given to him by the Lord. But from Bartimaeus' perspective, it was all Christ. And so that's what we run up to here. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What is the it? His own act of believing? No. The it, as Romans 3 has been telling us, is Christ's righteousness. But now, Romans 3, a righteousness of God is revealed apart from the law, so apart from Abraham's efforts. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So we put this together. Abraham believed God by means of faith, the faith gifted to him by God, and it, the righteousness of another, the righteousness that is over there, the righteousness of Jesus Christ was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. That is so beautiful, my friends, that when we trust in Christ, and remember Jesus said, those people came to Jesus and said, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus says, "This is the work of God that you believe." God grants faith in the heart, and when we trust in the Lord grants it to us, Christ's righteousness, the Lord's perfect life, death, and resurrection, so that when God sees us, he sees Christ, and that is the basis of our acceptance before him. Join us this Sunday at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m., and we promise to preach this Christ to you, nothing other than the gospel of Christ, our Lord and Savior. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. at the Linden United Reformed Church. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. 318-0429 is the phone number. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.